Good morning and welcome to the show. Today in the studio, I've actually got Mr. Scott Robinson coming back for the second time. Buddy, how are you today?
Yeah, doing pretty good. It's a pleasure to be back with you, mate. It's always good to hang around, especially to come in here and have a good old chat.
Absolutely, mate. We are going to talk smack about cars, which turns out to be my favourite thing to do. And yeah, you and I do a bit of that. Today we're actually going to talk about a very specific BMW and a little race program yep. that you're into this year. Because for people that might not have caught your first episode with me, they might be unaware of the calibre of talent you bring to a vehicle. With you know a little bit of background, you've done some karts and then you play with some old dungers overseas. So McLaren, master technician, BMW master technician. Am I accurate
yeah.
in
Yeah, those? That's pretty accurate.
Pretty accurate. And your business, Modern Classic Motorsport, for anyone that goes to Cars and Coffee on Turbo Drive, they would have seen multiple BMWs, 911s, really special-looking things that you've had a hand to.
Yep, yep. I mean, that classic restoration business is the current passion. It's going nicely. I've, you know, been lucky to find some very good customers that appreciate the attention to detail that I can deliver to a restoration of an old BMW or Porsche, yeah.
And that's the thing I've always known about you for the whole time I've known you, is you have a level of precision unlike many people I've ever met. There's a level of detail, and then, you know, 100 points above that is Scott Robinson's attention to detail, where everything is so precise. You could set your watch by it.
Yeah, yeah. Some people say it's a good thing. Others get annoyed by it, but that's all right.
and that's the thing, is it's not for everybody. Some people are happy just slapping things together.
Yep.
I'm probably a bit more like that. I'm, you know, 90% today beats 100% tomorrow. Mm. But I have nothing but respect for that, because it reminds me in particular of my grandfather who worked on aeroplanes, because he was exactly the same as you. Because with aircraft and hand-making parts, there's no "she'll be right, mate." Mm. Everything was with absolute precision because that was what was drilled into him, and he then made that, you know, the art form of his life.
Mm. Yeah.
And it makes me smile when I talk to people that have that.
Yeah, good.
That same meticulous attention to detail. And you got a little runabout last year. You picked up a little BMW to go racing in. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that car?
Yeah, well, I was very fortunate to acquire from the family of my good mate David Harris, the ex-Tony Longhurst BMW 325 John Player Special. So that was one of the two cars that Frank Gardner's team built as 325s before the M3 came into existence in 87. So, yeah, got one of those beautiful black and gold machines, and yeah, such a pleasure to own that car and be its current custodian. And I'm planning to own it for a long, long time till I can't race anymore. Had a good introduction into the season with Heritage Touring Cars last year. Started at Morgan Park, unfortunately missed Phillip Island Classic because I didn't own the car that early in the year, but yeah, got into it. Loved the car, refreshed a few things, made things a little bit nicer. Getting used to pushing it a little harder myself now. Yeah, so absolutely loving it. Loving owning it, loving keeping it polished, and loving racing it.
Well, it is a very pretty car, that JPS black and gold, like the John Player Special cars, from the F1 cars to the touring cars. That's a very special colour scheme. It always looked beautiful.
Absolutely. I fell in love with it as a young man, you know, going to watch Frank Gardner's team, Jim Richards, Tony Longhurst race at Surfers Paradise Lakeside in those days. And it was, you know, because they were BMWs and I was a BMW nut back then, you know, finished my apprenticeship and working at the dealers here in Brisbane. And, you know, that was the car that I wanted to watch go racing. And, yeah.
It's pretty wild when you cast your mind back, isn't it?
Yeah.
To think that you were there, side of the track.
Yep. Yeah. And I actually got to sit in that 325 at Surfers Paradise one time before they packed them away.
Seriously?
I talked to Ludwig Finau, who was one of the race mechanics, at the end, and they were packing the cars up, and I'd been in his ear and chatting, hanging around the pits as much as possible and asking him questions. And yeah, he let me sit in that car briefly before they packed it away.
But he's like, fuck, anything to get rid of this bloke.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure that's what he was thinking, but I was probably just, yeah, hanging around so much that he felt sorry for me in the end of the day.
And yeah, persistent and interested. It's funny how things can happen when you're
that's right.
Persistent and interested.
Exactly, yep.
And
lots of great memories.
Oh, mate.
And now to own that car.
And now to own it. And this is the other thing, is you have a long history with that car as well. Do you want to take me back to the start of it? Because how did it even come to be for you and that car to become reacquainted a decade or so ago?
Well, a good friend of mine, David Harris, who I met through the BMW world, his wife had passed away, and he was looking for hobbies and wanted to get back into motor racing and cars and doing stuff. And he had a Targa M3, E30 M3, that I'd helped him prepare for Targa Tasmania. Did a few events with him with that. And then the opportunity presented itself for him to buy this car, which was in a container down in Sydney, just been stored there for about 6 or 7 years. And he told me of this opportunity, and I just couldn't believe that someone had let him know about this car. And I said, of course, like, let's go and have a look at it. Went and had a look at it. It was the real thing. And got all that verified, of course, and he negotiated to buy the car. And I was super excited because I knew what the car was, history. And so then I was involved then helping David go racing with that car, maintaining it, rebuilding engines, you know, keeping it in tip-top race condition for his campaigning for since that car, yes, sort of around 2015 he started campaigning the car. Yeah, and never had any issues with it, just all about focusing preparation to get the car excellent when it got to the race meeting, and just keep it going for him through the race meeting, no problem at all. And he enjoyed his racing, and yeah.
Because when you got the car, it had been sitting, it was obviously it was an old race car, and then it had been sitting still for 7 years, and cars don't love sitting.
No, so there was a lot of recommissioning, brake lines, brake fluid, rebuilding brake calipers, going through the engine. We had head gasket issues fairly early with a few testing, like a head gasket blew, and then that was just an age and sitting thing probably, so we stripped the engine down at that point to go through it with a fine tooth comb and did what it needed to be done.
Did you find anything funny when you pulled it down, or?
Not really, no, there was nothing. The bottom end was really good. It was the cylinder head, the compression was the gasket. We had to make a shim up to get a little bit less compression because the pistons were lightly touching the edge of the cylinder head. So we just gave it another couple of thousandths of a millimetre with a head gasket shim, and that fixed that problem, fixed the head gasket blowing and the overheating issues. So then that was super reliable engine and didn't seem to affect the power much. So that was good result. And reliability is always what you want when you go away for a race meeting. You don't want things to fail on you. It makes it disappointing and expensive weekend. So yeah, it was good. So we got that car all back and running, and he did give it a freshen up with paint, I think two seasons in, and helped him pull it all apart, get it repainted, come back a little bit fresher, and it's got stone chips on it now from a couple of seasons of racing after that, but it's still looking pretty beautiful.
Yeah, battle scars are all right. We can put up with those. And again, it's race car good. I mean, it's still Scott Robinson race car good, which is fucking ridiculous by anybody else's standards. Mate, she's looking pretty nice. And then you supported David all the way through, didn't you? So you travelled with him and you helped him.
Yep.
You helped him campaign the car. You helped him run
his
race program.
That's right, yeah. Always supporting him and back at the workshop and going away as his race mechanic on the weekends. We went away. Yeah, it was good. Made life a lot easier for him. He was sort of early 80s, so yeah, he was an elderly gentleman, but still quite fast. And
what a legend, though.
Exactly.
Early 80s, still tearing it up.
Yeah, that's it. And he passed away, so yeah, but enjoyed his motorsport for sure, and driving and Yeah.
It's bloody good because I thought it was really special that you were able to arrange to get that car, because I know that David was a special friend to you, and that, you know, you guys did a lot together, and you know, you were grateful for that relationship. And then for you to be able to, again, become that next custodian of this car.
Yep.
I said, I couldn't imagine the car, I couldn't imagine a better lineage or better hands to be on it at this point in time.
Yeah, it was when he did pass away, I eventually let the family know that I would love to own that car. So when the time was right to buy it off the estate, I'd like to hope that they'd give me first preference to be able to buy it. So luckily that happened. So, yeah, it was a proud moment to be able to own the vehicle and, put it into my garage and campaign it. So, and, you know, with him along for the ride, well, so mate, to speak.
He rides on the back parcel shelf. Exactly. There's a little note there that you've added to the internal livery.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that your mate's out there with you every time.
Exactly, yep, that's the plan.
Which is bloody special.
Mm.
Because you'd intended to go racing, and you obviously weren't sure if this car was going to be the one. Mm. And so you'd had intention of building an E36.
Yeah, Super Tourer replica. I was going to... I'd bought a shell just before David had passed away, so I'd had this E36... in mind that I was going to build up a Super Tourer replica and race that in improved production, and this Super Tourer or replica Tourer categories that I could run that in. I thought that'll be good fun, build it up, build a nice engine in it, make it quicker than what any of those cars ever were in the day. And and then unfortunately David did pass away, and I had the feeling that I hopefully could buy the JPS car from the family, so I put that little project on hold, and then just moved to my focus of the JPS and the Heritage Touring Car series once I'd purchased that car.
And the comedy in this story is that I now procured
you did.
This specific car,
yeah.
And I too have hopes to make it look like a production vehicle, except I also have hopes to probably put a V8 in it and make it go sideways as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So
do the smoky thing.
Yeah, because look, I'd actually like it to look period correct, and I've actually got a car. It's got the Fina, if you know that. Yeah, so no wing like that. I think that livery is actually pretty... pretty sharp.
Yeah, Schnitzer livery of the day in the European and British Touring Car Championships.
So I've sort of got that feeling, but then it'd probably also have a set of knuckles in it so that you can make the front wheels do that.
You've got to do that if you're going to go drifting.
Well, see, I'm not very good at straight lines, Scotty. I'm not, and I think that comes with, much like my 90% today, I get frustrated trying to do a perfect lap because I struggle to put it together because I can't hold that much focus.
Mm.
Whereas the song and dance of you know, to me, that's just busting a move and just dancing with it until you and the car go, yeah, that's enough, and you can, and that's it.
Mm.
So just for a bit of fun and just to tootle around in, and again, for my own education, the boys told me, because we've been going through the bits and pieces in it, they said to me the steering rack with the purple badge on it, they said, that's the duck guts.
That's right.
That's the one that people are looking for, apparently. There's some hot tricks in there. Because fucking hell, didn't you what? Because I had no idea what I was buying. I'm just like, yep, right, I'm done. Because I knew it'd be good because it was yours, which means it's probably the straightest chassis left on planet Earth.
Mm. Took a while to find it. Nice one.
And this is my thing. I know if you've chosen it, I'm like, I don't need to look at anything. I know it'll be the best on the planet. Mm. So I had complete faith. But, yeah, as the boys are explaining what's in it, I'm going, fucking hell.
Yep.
And then the real problem was the dirty old 7 Series at the front as well, because I'd been trying to buy that off you for a dollar. Because I'm like, what idiot would ever want a fucking V12 7 Series?
Yeah.
I'm like... This idiot.
They're a good engine. I have big plans for that as well, but I hope to see you complete those plans, so that would be good.
Yeah, and because we were discussing the joy of perhaps the V12 engine coming out of the 7 Series, which I believe was your intention as well.
Yeah.
But having a very soft spot for the E32 7 Series, and this being a top-of-the-line 750 IL with all the bells and whistles. It's even got rear electric seats.
Rear electric seats, got the rear picnic tables in the back like a Rolls Royce.
Oh, mate, so the timber. Oh.
Beautiful, beautiful top of the line car, the knee.
Oh, incredible. And it's got a 1992 Motorola phone, like complete in the centre with the, oh, as well as the style at the time. I mean, the, it's
I'm sure it would work if that 2G or 1G connectivity was still
can
valid.
I, can I tell you a funny story? I had a parcel turn up from eBay this week, and my wife's like, what the fuck is this? And it is a mint condition Motorola phone. So the Motorola Tax, I think it's called, TACS. And so I found a perfect condition one on eBay and bought it for like $40.
Yeah.
Because the one that was in it, the little flippy down thing at the bottom had broken. And the battery, yeah, it was just a bit cracked.
Yep.
So I hunted down the precise same one.
Yep.
And I'm going to make sure I can get power to it, make sure I can get power into it.
So at least lights
so
up.
So it'll light up.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct. It won't work, obviously, because those networks are gone. Mm. But if I could just make that thing light up, because I have walked around that car. And I've actually started already specking them. My mate at CBD or whatever, we made space for me. I've started doing it up there. I've started fixing all the blacks. I've actually got to find a new surround for the front. So the kidney grills?
Oh, the kidney grills, yeah.
Yeah, I've got to try and find one of those. And obviously the 750 is different to the 735, so you've got to find
that's wider also one. The wider one for they did on the 740s, the later 740s as well.
Yeah, my other thought was I'd just make a mould of it, of the other side and reverse it.
Yeah, could do that.
So here we go.
I'll keep an eye out for
because oddly hard to find that part. Mm. You can find them in like weird, you know the parts of Europe where larders and things and
lots of Eastern Bloc countries seem to have.
Mate, they seem to have cars. Yeah, that seems to be there. That's probably where all the Holden Geminis are.
Yeah.
Maybe they go there. Yeah. Latvia and well, they're going
better cars than larders.
Because stupid BMWs, mate. That's all part of our fun.
Mm.
And then this year, you're going racing. Tell me about this series, because I don't know a lot about it.
Mm.
And I'd suggest that you know a bit more than me.
Well, Heritage Touring Cars is a series that's for original Group C and Group A cars that raced in Australia. So to be able to enter that category, they have to be original cars that were raced under those regulations. So
can't be a copy,
or a
replica. Like, has to be the car.
The car, yep.
Which is insane, because and this stuff's big overseas. I've obviously been and seen some of the stuff there, and they campaign all the old F1 cars, and there's a huge scene for it.
Yep.
I don't think we've quite seen the explosion. I don't think people have realised how insane it is, because people are like, oh, God, Group C days, and you know, these things, and the wild, the maniac cars. And it's like, mate, they're out being raced.
Mm. And that's the I think people are starting to realise now the amazing show to see these original cars on track. The original noises, the smells, the...
well, that's it. They're still getting punted
and
making 1980s noises.
That's right. And the guys who own them are passionate about cars and what they do. So they're out there to have a great time and push the cars along. It's good. It's good racing. My car's obviously not as fast as some of the later stuff, but it's still such a pleasure to race with guys that are around that pace with me. And no matter where you look up and down the field, there's close racing going on, you know, from all the little small, there's Geminis, there's Volvos, Escorts, Corollas. And then there's everything that's faster forward than that, depending on the era of where they're from. And then there's a point scoring within the categories to sort of overcome sort of some time factors with, you know, the older cars scoring a little bit more points if they do better than the later model Group A cars and stuff. So it's a nicely thought out series, and this year we've got four events through the year, plus we're supporting, going to be a support race at Bathurst 1000 in October, so super excited about that one.
Which is mayhem, because I was talking to you about that the other week, and this is part of why I got you in here. And you're going, yep, booked in, got the accommodation, we are done. We are locked in, Bathurst 1000, it's happening. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What a year. Like 2024 racing season, Scotty Robinson up in lights in the black and gold.
That's it. Yeah.
What a year. Because you go Phillip Island. What's the second? Is that Morgan?
Morgan Park.
Yeah, Phillip Island, Morgan Park.
Yep. In Sydney Motorsport Park.
Sydney?
In July. Yep.
Yeah, in July.
And then Bathurst in October.
Bathurst.
And then there's a round in Tasmania in November.
There you go. Yeah. That's a bloody full year.
Yeah, and I might do a few local ones as well. There's usually another one at Warwick or maybe Queensland Raceway. That'll do maybe August. They haven't announced the dates for that yet, but that's a nice easy one to do local.
Well, that's it. Go and stretch its legs. Because the first round, you'll be packing the car up. Your car's probably already packed, isn't it? Because you leave, what, Monday, Tuesday? When do you head off?
Tuesday the 6th.
Tuesday the 6th.
No, 5th.
5th. There you go. Oh, okay, so you've got about a week.
A week, yeah.
About a week to go.
A week from today, I'll be packing everything up.
And then you're doing the jaunt down because you've got the big old van.
Got the van, trailer, car on the back of the trailer. 2 days to get down there. Get there on the Wednesday night, set up, pump in on a Thursday, and qualifying's on the Friday.
And Phillip Island is a magical circuit.
It is beautiful.
It is, and it's so beautiful to drive as well, because not only does it have the elevation change and all the wonderful things, but it's a stunning spot.
Yep.
And that main straight where you're coming over the crest, you see the ocean, like it's just paradise. Like there's few better places, and you pump over the crest down into it, and you what are you getting? You'd be still hitting $2. You'd be 200-ish before you hit the braking zone.
Yeah, I've got the tallest diff ratio that I own in the car for that circuit. So it'll be just cresting 200 k's, and then I'll be on the limiter for probably about 200 or 300 metres before I can turn right.
Before you can smash the brakes. Mr. Talbot showed me how hard you've got to punch the brakes going in there.
He's going in a lot quicker than mine.
Mate, that was in the fucking radical, so you had aero.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And you could... Oh, mate, he was pissing himself afterwards because he said, yeah, that's my favourite bit, because you stomp the brakes. I think he was probably doing 230, 240, whatever you hit in an aero car, and then just smashes it. And, mate, your body is just pressed against the belts as the G-forces hit you hard, because for people that don't understand race braking, it's not like when you're pulling up at the lights and you go harder, 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 harder. You go bang to the floor and you pump it as hard as you can, then come off. So sort of almost the opposite experience. So for a passenger that's not holding on.
Yeah, it's a bit of an interesting feel.
Gives you a little nudge, I can assure you. But yeah, bloody magical place. Now, the other thing that you've had to do, which is going to take us down a whole other path, you've managed to organise the chemotherapy treatment that you're currently going through. Around your 2024 race program.
Yeah. So,
because that's a fucking hell of a story, huh?
That is. It's been an interesting 12 months from issues starting off with abdomen pain and bloating, and doctors telling me it's probably just irritable bowel syndrome, and putting up with the pain for many, many months, as blokes do, and go, yeah, I'll be right. It'll just get better. And then finally having some real serious issues with turning yellow and liver and kidney function starting to fail that caused me to go back to the GP and tell him, hey, this is not irritable bowel syndrome. So they then ordered a CT scan finally and found that I had a 80 millimetre mass on my pancreas. So that got me straight into MARTA that day. And... put a stent in to open the tubes up of the pancreas and get all that functionality working again, and then with biopsies and stuff of the mass of the tumour over the weeks to work out what it actually was, and then came back with a diagnosis of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, B-cell lymphoma, so bone marrow. So once they knew what it was, they could formulate the chemo treatment, and then started my first chemo on the 1st of December. But before we started that, I sat down with my doctor and said to him, I'm going racing next year, and Phillip Island is my first race meeting. Booked, paid for it, accommodation's done, it's all booked and paid for. We have to work all this around so I can still go racing. And he had a very big smile on his face and said, righto, tell me the dates and let's look at it. He said, we'll do our best to make this work for you. So the program of the 21 days cycle that I do, so every 21 days I have chemo. So after the chemo day, there's about 9 days of dropping into a low feeling crap period, and then I start to come back up and feel good. So that feeling good stage at the end before I go for another chemo is when I had to look at getting to Phillip Island. So we counted backwards for the 21 day treatments and started the chemo on the 1st of December, which means that when I get down to Phillip Island, I'll be in the good zone. I'm currently just had chemo yesterday, so I'm just starting to drop into the terrible zone. And I'm looking forward to getting up again and getting to Phillip Island, going racing, and then I'm lucky enough now to have just one more chemo when I get back from Phillip Island, and hopefully that, once I have another PET scan and the doctors look at the results of how things are tracking, hopefully there's no more chemo and things will be good. So it's all about positive thinking and staying immensely focused on the positives. Good friends, great support, lots of love, removing all the negativity out of my life and focusing on all the great, wonderful things like motorsport and the people in my life. That's what's kept me going and kept me so upbeat to get through all this crazy stage of life that, yeah, brings a different focus of what's important in life.
It does, mate. And honestly, having watched you the last few years as you stepped away from working with other people and you went out on your own and you sort of started pursuing your own dreams and your own things and building your own business, and then finally, you know, having a plan to go racing, then not just having a plan but being able to get like the car, like the dream car, the car that you as a young man, and then to cop that, because I must say, when I came to see you up at the hospital in December, yeah, you didn't look good, mate.
Yeah.
It was real fucking scary, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'd lost a lot of weight. Those first couple of months were bad. I've put some weight back on now, which is great.
You look like shit. Like, there's no nice way to say how bad you looked, and I'm just there going, Jesus. It wasn't great, mate. Mm. That was really scary.
Yeah.
And again, I can only imagine, you know, yourself with all your life's plans and life's problems and all the things, and then to find yourself sitting in that room staring at the ceiling.
Yep. 6 weeks I was in there. So a lot of time to think, and like I said, only positive thoughts, because the negatives were just too distressing to think about. So it's easier. Well, it's not, I won't say easier, but it's better for everything if you just have no negative thoughts. Don't allow the negative thoughts to get in the head and rattle around.
That ward is not a fun place to walk through.
Mm. There's a lot of people off worse than me in there. I was very lucky to be relatively young bloke. I still think I'm a young bloke, but that's just my train of thought. But you know, so many people dealing with it in a worse way than what I was, and having people come and visit, keep me cheery, have a chat, keep talking about the stuff I love to talk about, keep thinking about the things I love talking about, great friends, it gets you through. It's very much appreciated how all that is kept me positive. So I'm just building on that as I feel stronger and better, and hopefully, fingers crossed, the treatment after the next chemo has done its job. But nothing's going to get in the way of the stuff that I want to do this year.
No, and I think that was the part for me where, as somebody on the sidelines, seeing how bad you were in December, and then when you sort of said, because I spoke to you on the phone, it must have been January-ish at a point there, and you told me that there'd been some success and the chemo had actually started to decrease the overall mass.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was one of the favourite phone calls. I could show you where I was on the side of the road.
Yeah.
When I had that phone call, because I was just fucking smiling from ear to ear that we would have a chance to do what we're doing right now, because one of my Batman secret skills is I like working behind the scenes in motorsport teams. And, you know, being my friend and a good fella, I've obviously wanted to do that. And
thanks.
I was sad at everything that was happening. And then I'm like, so we're going fucking racing.
Yep.
I'm like, yeah, boy.
Yep.
Let's go.
It's good news.
Let's fucking go.
Yep.
Because, yeah, from that point, watching you, yeah, at that point in December, to hearing that joy in your voice that we're going racing, and then to have you here today, and you've got your Modern Classic Motorsport JBS team shirt on.
Yep.
You're rocking your fresh new Cancer Ward haircut.
Yeah.
So
can't,
you've
can't do anything with that.
No, you've got the full streamlined chrome dome now, and you've always had a wonderful head of hair, mate.
Yeah. So, just like yourself.
You know? Absolutely. I feel like we should get you like a glorious mullet or something, so you could, you know, be a little bit more in keeping with the times of the 1980s. Just get out and, you know, do a big Pantene flick.
Yeah. Well, Tony Longhurst never had a mullet. So,
didn't he?
No, he never rocked a mullet.
God, I wish he did.
Yeah.
Sure, there'd be some good hairstyles there, but I think we need like a James Hunt style.
Mm.
Yeah, real rock star stuff.
Yeah,
well, bit of that.
Let's work on that.
One step at a time. So you're not as good at the showboating, mate. That'd be my first thought. Just get out.
I'm a little bit humble.
Get out and flick the mullet.
Yeah.
A little stick on moustache when you get out of the car.
Mm.
I think that'd be magnificent.
All right.
70, Scotty.
I'll leave you to rock that.
Yeah, you might even just Photoshop it.
Yeah, do that.
Because, mate, it's been a pretty shitty couple of months. And, fairly significantly life-changing for you as well, because I've known you for a little while, and again, you've always a very serious man. I feel like the weight of the world is no longer on your shoulders.
No. Yeah, I mean, it prioritises life and what's important in life more, I think. You let a lot of stuff go. It doesn't matter. Like, what's important? You know, people around you, friends, experiences. You know, they're the big things. What you're passionate about is so important. And because those things are the things that drive you in life to get up every morning and go, this is what I love doing, this is what I'm focused on, I'm going to go and enjoy this, I'm going to go away to Moreton camping with my friends and, you know, plans to get back overseas for a few international holidays. And, you know, you look at these things and you set the goals in front and go, that's what life's about, you know. And I'm lucky enough to have a lot of great friends, and my passion for cars and motor racing is growing more, so I just want to keep that growing and enjoy that growth and focus of that. So, yeah.
I think it's also just allowing room in your life for it, because your projects are something that you've said a few times are just the ones that get pushed to the side, because once you're running your own show, as fun as your own projects are, the work for your clients will always take precedent.
Yeah.
And because there's more than one person that knows you're pretty good at what you do, you end up with a few things keeping you out of trouble as well.
Yeah, there's a few projects I want to get back onto this year if I can. But I've got a lot of good customers that their cars have been put on ice for a while I've been ill, and they're very understanding, which is great. So I've got to ramp back up after I'm feeling a lot better, and then get all those finished and maybe have a little bit of time to jump back onto the projects I've had.
What are you going to build next? Because I know you've got a pile of projects. Even getting rid of two, that doesn't really even get you down that many.
Well, I've got my E9 replica Group 2 race car that just started many years ago. So the body shell's all painted and finished, and I've got to finish building the engine for that and put it all back together. So that's one thing that I do want to finish. So that's probably the biggest priority, to get that one done.
Get that one done first. Mm. Well, it's been a long way in the making, so.
Way too long.
Because when did you start that one? That would have been the OOs, I reckon.
Yeah.
Or I think very early, 2010, 12, maybe 13, 14. Not even that.
So it's probably 10 years. Yeah. 10 years in
the Either way, well, bloody long right. time for it yeah. to just be a shell.
Exactly. Way too long.
Because it wants to go racing.
Yeah, possibly. I've probably made it too nice to go racing now, so it might end up being Cars and Coffee Queen.
Yeah.
Maybe the odd sprint event. Or
look, Cars and Coffee Queen, it'd still be good.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be road registered, so that's, you need to be able to drive that one on the road. It's just pure racetrack. So
this sounds like fun. A very good project.
Mm. It'll be beautiful when it's done.
Yeah. Because that is a pretty car. That's one that people need to see, actually. And Scotty, as you look forward over the next couple of years with your racing, with the things you're going to do, what's the plan?
Gosh, the plan is to enjoy life as much as I can. I do want to get the car storage side of the business up and running.
And talk to me about that. Tell me about the plans there.
I need to find a good building to kick that off with more space than what I've got, so I'll be able to offer clients storage of their car collection or motorsport vehicles.
Because just in case there's somebody listening to our show today, and you know they might own a few buildings, talk to me about the dream location size and specs.
Dream location would be somewhere just slightly east of the city, whether it's north side or south side of the river, you know, Murray, Tingalpa, Eagle Farm. I need a nice square shaped building, somewhere between 500 and 600 square metres. Not much office. I don't need office space, I just need warehouse space with a good height that I can have car stackers and offer a very pristine environment for storage of beautiful vehicles.
Excellent. So 500 or 600 square metres, somewhere in that sort of window. Yeah, Murray, across the river, yeah. Eagle Farm, Murray to Eagle Farm. So if anybody listening has things about that, I'm not too hard to find on the internet, and neither Scotty. So yeah. just hit us up, because these are things that are very important in the future campaigns of modern classic motorsport.
That's it. Yeah, and then I've just sort of put that a little bit on hold for health reasons, and just haven't got the energy and focus to make all those changes. But hopefully by middle of the year, back firing on all cylinders and try and get that changed of location, that I can develop that side of the business as well.
Because how much space have you got at the moment? You're sort of Capalaba away. What's the square metres there?
Oh, just under 200.
Is it really? Yeah. So that's 200. Because I was laughing with you when I was there the other day, going, you would have got the keys to this place, looked in here and gone, God, I'll never be able to fill this. Mm. And now, like, you got shit, like, very precisely stored, but shit everywhere. Like, there's not a square metre left. You know, you've got to move the BMW to get to the BMW to get to the BMW.
Yep.
And don't hit the Porsche.
I use every millimetre of available space that I've currently got.
That's it. And then you get your wheels and your race things and your spares. And it's just, it's funny. There's no such thing as enough space, particularly when you're interested in automotive things.
Yep.
And then your mates go, hey, I heard you got a shed.
That's it. Yep. And everybody wants to come over and
use your hoist, and all of us with double-digit car collections are like,
that's right.
You got a few spots.
Yeah. Well, this is why I want to start that side of the business up, so I can actually offer proper service to people where they've this capacity to store people's cars properly.
Well, that's it, to store the cars and then also have them ready to go when they want to get them out.
Yep.
Those sorts, because you do those sorts of things too, wouldn't
you?
Exactly. So that it's
all prepared, ready to go.
Yeah, so that you can just go, I need the car on Saturday.
Yep.
Go, no problems. Be waiting for you.
Yeah, people can swap cars around, you know, whatever they're currently driving, bring it over, drive it, swap it for another one for a couple of weeks. Enjoy their car collection. Motorsport guys, there's a lot of guys who don't get into motorsport as serious because they've got nowhere to store a car or work on a car. So do I offer that facility as well, where they can keep their car at a facility, and then when they want to go away racing, they just come and pick the car up and it's all prepared, ready to go. So there's all those potential services that I can offer.
Well, that's it. Like I said right at the start, there's no better man for the job.
Thanks, man.
And look, I'm not going to actually keep you here for too long, because I have a tradition of like talking smack with people for 3 hours. But given that I'm not trying to make you exert all of your energy in one go, because as you said, like, you're having chemo yesterday, like this time 24 hours ago, you know, you're getting pumped with the radioactive gear. And so, yeah, your poor old body, you're kind of pushing shit uphill today, but you've still, you've given it both barrels and turned up.
Yeah, good. It's just a weird feeling to try and describe what all these chemicals do to your body as you having them pumped in the next 10 days, but it's a better feeling when you start to feel normal again in the next 10 days.
I'll throw it out there. It's one of the few times I'm glad to not know the feeling.
Mm.
Honestly, it's one of those things where you just go...
Yeah, I wouldn't wish this on anybody. But anyway, it's about being positive. Keeping every day...
Mate.
Is a new start.
Every day is a new day. Mm. And mate, that was it. Again, when I walked out of the bloody cancer ward in December when I came and saw you that I walked outside... The sky had never been more blue. The trees had never been more green. The birds had never sounded so sweet.
Mm.
The heaviness in that place. Fucking hell. Yeah.
Mm.
And then that has actually really stayed with me. Like, more than, as we do, I've said some shit over the years, but like there was something that just happened that day.
Mm.
And then now to be sitting here with you, talking about these things, it's real good, mate.
Mm. Well, it's something I want to look back on and go, I've got through it all, mate.
And we did it.
Yep, exactly. That's the plan.
And you're a fucking lunatic that went, I'm going to book my chemo in around my motorsport program.
Mm.
And that to me, as I said, mate, I said, that's because I know that you haven't spoken to anybody about this, and that was why I sort of said to you, I said, look, I think it's important because people are going to ask you a question when you turn up. And, and yeah, it's a funny haircut you got going on there, mate. And
yeah, it's my new look.
Yeah, it's your new. Okay, anything to shave a few grams off the weight.
That's right.
You've got to make up for that lack of horsepower somehow, don't you?
That's it.
But, Scotty, you're an inspirational man in my life. And I am very proud to call you my friend, and I am very proud to be supporting your race program.
Thanks, mate.
And
it's very much appreciated.
Yeah, I think that some very special things are going to happen. I just have a funny feeling. And again, we had somebody join us on the phone before we started the show today, because you spoke to bloke who knows a bit about that BMW.
Yeah, you were very gracious in connecting me up with Tony Longhurst. So. Had a 5-minute chat with him on the phone this morning before we started this, so that sort of made my day. And he's keen to come out and reconnect with the car at some point when he has the opportunity, when he can get away from his busy business life. So, yeah, very special. So much appreciate that that gesture of chasing him down and being able to have a phone call with him, chat about his time with the car and stuff like that. So I've got many more conversations, I hope, with Tony, and hopefully in person at some point in the future. So,
because that was bloody special, and I can't take any credit for that. That was our dear friend, Mr. Ben Nothling.
Yeah, thank you, mate.
Yeah, he's a bloody legend, that man. And my comment to him was, "Let's try and move heaven and earth," because I've sort of tried over the last few months to sort of try and find a way to chat to Tony, and I sort of hadn't done very well because he's obviously got a few things on his plate these days, and Ben was so wonderful in the capacity of procuring it. And then I've got to give absolute credit to Tony Longhurst, was I sent him a message and explained who I was, who you were, and what we hoped to talk to you about, and just say, look, you know, I've got the owner of of your car, and it was, you know, would you mind having a chat? And he came back to me within minutes, and he was like, no problems. Like, an absolute gentleman, a man that's got that much going on in his life. And, yeah, it was a hot minute ago. We're talking the mid-80s here. When it was racing, I was 4 years old, to apply some context. Makes you sound old, doesn't it?
It does sound. Thanks, man.
Just rub that in a little bit. Yeah. But again, you know, you're what are you? What are you up to?
59.
59. Yeah, you're a bloody young 59, though. Yeah, you look good for your age.
Thanks, mate. Look, checks in the mail.
Yeah, you look better with the hair. I mean, you had a fantastic do. It really had volume to it. Maybe that'll come back. Maybe it's one of the, you know, when you shave your beard and then it comes back stronger? Maybe it does that.
Yeah, a lot of people have their hair grow back curly as well.
Curly?
Yeah, so I'm...
Hang on, so you're going to get that 70s look that I'm going for?
Maybe. I might get the afro.
Yeah, you grow out the mo, you got the curls.
Yeah, who knows how it's going to grow back.
That's going to be unreal.
Yeah.
I can feel this. This is going to work.
I have to get a bigger helmet.
Oh, you will have to get a bigger helmet. Actually, we can paint the hair on it, like Valtteri. Anyway. Mate, for people that want to follow you and that magical JPS BMW, you've got a couple of Instagram accounts, don't you, that people can jump on?
Yeah, well, I've got my Modern Classic Motorsport Instagram, and then I've got BMW 325iJPS with that. Modern Classic Motorsport's got a link to that. So there's one just about the car, and the other one's about my business. It also has lots of pictures of JPS car on there as well. Facebook's got Modern Classic Motorsport as well to follow on and whatever's happening in business and the car.
That's it. Keep an eye on all your mischief. Keep an eye on what's going to happen with Scott's hair. I'm trying to convince him to get a mullet. I think he needs even like a mullet wig. I really want to see him just owning the time period that came with the car. He's not convinced. He doesn't.
Not fully yet. But
he's not there, but I reckon I can get him there. Yeah. So I need some support. So if you're listening and you know Scotty, can you just reach out to him? And are we for the mullet? Is it? I reckon he'd own it. I reckon he'd own
it. Let's see how the hair comes back first, mate. It might not be mullet worthy.
Yeah, because that's the thing, mate. Like those 90s photos of you in the McLaren F1 car, you know, you're about as dapper as a man could look in those. So, we've got to rough you up a little bit. We've got to turn you into a mid-80s race car driver, mate.
Yeah. All right, we'll do our best. I'll leave that with you.
Scotty, thank you, my friend, for making the time to come and talk to me straight after you've been pumped full of bloody radioactive material, because I'm so fucking excited, mate. This is going to be a good year.
It's going to be a good year. 2024 is going to be an awesome year.
It's going to be a real good year.
Yep.
And your touring car series, one more for the people who are listening, I'll chuck all the links in to the show notes.
Heritage Touring Cars.
So yes. Heritage Touring Cars.
Yep. Look for that. Website, Heritage Touring Cars. Just Google Heritage Touring Cars and you'll see
you'll find
about the series and the support that... you know, it'd be great to get some more sponsorship into that category as well to be able to
absolutely
grow it, encourage more guys to get their cars out of sheds, because there's a load of cars that aren't being raced. And it'd be great if there's some financial support that could come into the category to assist guys to get from longer distances to do the whole rounds and all the rounds of the season.
So well, that's it. And to me, Heritage Touring Cars is one of those untapped resources. It's the sort of things I talk to my clients about and go, mate, you're buying this at cents on the dollar at this point in time. When you look at what the cars are, the people that watch, the people that are involved, this is a good category. It's a good collection of people.
Yep.
And so if you're smart, you might want to have a little look into this.
Yep, definitely, because it's growing. And the passion for those, era
motorsport. 40 car fields, and they're genuine race cars. Mm. You know, they're not shibby right, half and half write-offs. It's the real bloody deal, and they're getting pedalled the way they should be driven.
That's right.
Because people, I always hear people going, oh, yeah, well, don't get driven. And they're like, mate, I can drive the pants off these. So if you want to see it getting done, this is how.
Get to Phillip Island as well.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be an awesome thing.
Go and see Scotty.
Yep. Drop in and say g'day.
Wear a mullet. Thanks, all right. On that note, I'm going to wind it out. You got anything to add before we wrap this up, mate?
No, mate. Just thanks again for all your support.
My man, anything, anytime. Hey, for those of you listening, thanks for joining us here on the All Right Everything podcast. Catch you next time.